From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now rocking with Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. I am your host, Al Martin, and boy, oh boy, do we have a ton to get to on today's show. Of course, we will recap all of the college football action that took place over the weekend. Michigan State barely squeaking out a win over Rutgers. Also, Michigan looks pretty good right now, folks. They are playing the best football out of any team in the Big Ten Conference with yet, yes, another shutout. And yes, folks, the week is upon us. The week that you all have been waiting for is finally here. The Spartans and Wolverines will get it on like Donkey Kong in Ann Arbor at the Big House this Saturday afternoon. We will get you prepped for that and let you know what the national pundits are predicting for an outcome, as well as the folks out in Vegas, folks. And the result may blow your mind. I kid you not. Also, the Detroit Lions. Yeah, we got to talk about them. We just have to. I don't really want to talk about them, but we have to. 0-5. Yeah, I'm not going to elaborate on that one. Also, later on the hour, we'll be taking your calls. Again, call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We'll also have weekend winners for you. Talk about this interesting situation in the world of baseball concerning Chase Utley sliding into second base and ending the season of Ruben Tejada. Interesting situation there, all of that and so much more. But hey, let's start this party like we always do. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners for this Columbus Day, Monday, October 12th. Carson Palmer threw for 3 touchdowns. Matthew Stafford was benched after throwing a 3rd interception, and the Arizona Cardinals routed the Detroit Lions 42-17 on Sunday. The Cardinals, who are now 4-1, have a 2-game lead in the NFC West. The Lions, who are now 0-5, they have the distinction of being the NFL's only winless team and are off to their worst start since becoming the league's only 0-16 team back in 2008. We'll have more on that game in just a sec. More than 60,000 fans attended the Lions' home loss to the Cardinals on Sunday. According to the Detroit News, no more than 1,000 fans remain during the fourth quarter. After the game, a 42-17 Cardinals win, as I just stated, Lions wide receiver Golden Tate ranted about the lack of fan support during the game. Tate said, quote, "When we win, we all win together. The city, as an organization, as a state, when we lose, we all lose together. And today, I feel like at times our fan base kind of turned their back on us." More on those comments in just a sec as well. All right, a day after Michigan trounced Northwestern 38-0 and Michigan State squeaked past Rutgers 31-24, Las Vegas is noticing. The betting line at VegasInsider.com opened today with Michigan favored by 3, which is often considered the advantage for home field, which U of M will have next Saturday. Well, I should say this week Saturday when the in-state rivals meet at 3:30 p.m. And yesterday, 5 minutes later, it soared to 6.5 points, then to 7 by 3:20 p.m. Yesterday, with Michigan drawing major attention. So right now, Michigan has a seven-point favorite to beat Michigan State this Saturday. We'll break down that matchup and get you ready for that rivalry this Saturday in just a sec here on the show as well. And Michigan, they nearly swept the Big Ten's 4 Player of the Week awards with cornerback Jordan Lewis, returner Jehu Chesson, and safety Jabril Peppers being honored. Peppers shares his freshman award with Minnesota running back Shannon Brooks. In winning his first Big Ten award, Peppers registered 5 tackles and 1.5 tackles for loss and added a game-high 3 pass breakups as the Wolverines helped the Northwestern Wildcats to 130 yards passing. That's pretty impressive. The MSU club football team, they defeated the defending national champion Oakland Grizzlies this weekend 21-16, moving to 2-0, won the year. They will defend their undefeated record at home against Wright State University later on this month on October 25th. Sophomore Sarah Burnham finished runner-up to lead the Michigan State women's golf team to a fourth-place showing at the Elite 18 Team Tar Heel Invitational, which concluded Sunday afternoon on the campus of the University of North Carolina. Burnham's 3-under par 213 tied for the 8th lowest 54-hole in program history, and second-place finish was a career best. Michigan State returns to action for its final fall tourney on October 23rd to the 25th at the Landfall Tradition in Wilmington, North Carolina. The appeal hearing for Chase Utley will not be held today, a source told that to ESPN. And the LA Dodgers infielder will continue to be eligible to play until the appeal is heard, including tonight's Game 3. Major League Baseball suspended Utley for Games 3 and 4 of the National League Division Series for what the league deemed was an illegal slide Saturday in New York into New York Mets shortstop Ruben Tejada, who broke his leg in the collision and will miss the remainder of the postseason. And USC Trojans coach Steve Sarkisian is taking an indefinite leave of absence after sources say he arrived Sunday to team facilities appearing to be intoxicated. Offensive coordinator Clay Helton will take over as interim head coach of the team. Sarkisian was not in attendance at the Trojans' practice on Sunday afternoon. USC AD Pat Hayden met with the media after practice to announce the move, saying, quote, "It was clear to me that he was not healthy," end quote. Well, that wraps up our current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in and give your thoughts on anything that is on that sports noggin of yours, you know that number. Call 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. So much to get to, so little time. It's about that time to start the show. Hey, folks, well, I tell you what, it feels so good to be back. It was an eventful weekend with a lot going on. I actually spent my weekend out in Ohio, hanging out there and celebrating my 25th birthday with Michigan State being on the road. Of course, there was really nothing to report on. So I took the weekend off. It was a great time out there. But I tell you what, I was keeping a close ear to what was going on in the world of U of M football, of course, Michigan State football. And yes, yeah, you know, but I will say, me being out in Ohio, they did not air the Lions game out there, so I got a chance to check out the Browns game as well as the Cincinnati Bengals game. Two great wins for both of those programs. So I guess I saved myself some pain in just sitting through an entire Lions loss yet again, 0-5 on the year, and the worst start since 2008 when they went 0-16. But it was great sitting back and just watching a lot of sports and looking at what took place in the world of college football. And folks, throughout the week here on WKAR's Current Sports, we will be getting you ready for the matchup that everyone has been waiting for, dating back to the beginning of the summer when the schedule was announced that Michigan State would take on Michigan on the road on October 17th in Ann Arbor at the Big House. This is what you've been waiting for. And I had no idea, and I tell you what, if you thought that this was going to take place, I would challenge you on that. I certainly would. Nobody thought that U of M was going to be this good at this point in the year, folks. Let's be honest here. I mean, Michigan, they come off yet another shutout, one of the best defenses in the nation, and they just completely blow out a very, very good Northwestern team. That Michigan defense is something else, but nobody would have fathomed that Michigan State, okay, maybe you would have found that Michigan State would be undefeated at this point in the year. That's realistic. But Jim Harbaugh in his first year, when looking at, you know, what has occurred for the Maize and Blue in recent times, I mean, I just said it would be unrealistic to expect for Jim Harbaugh to come in his first year and to have his team compete at the level in which they have thus far in the season. It would be unrealistic. I said, give Jim Harbaugh at least two years to turn around this program. What he has done so far is truly admirable. But again, I don't want to overreact because it's so early in the season. I'm turning on different sports talk shows that are nationally syndicated like Mike and Mike, and I'm reading different articles online that already want to hand Michigan the national championship trophy and want to hand Coach Jim Harbaugh the Coach of the Year honors. I mean, it's unbelievable how many people are already hopping on the Michigan football bandwagon when we are, what, just 5 games into the year? So I want to say, first off, folks, slow your roll. slow your roll. But this weekend's matchup is going to be one of the most entertaining out of the entire slate of college football action that there is, and arguably the most intriguing game, because I truly believe in looking at Michigan State, 5-0. Again, you're trying to reach higher. That's the mantra on the year. They're trying to compete for a national championship. You got Michigan on the other hand, which, again, they only have one loss to a very solid Utah team. And looking at how the defense has just shut out, what, back-to-back-to-back weeks now? It's truly unbelievable. For whatever team wins this weekend, whatever team, that win will have national championship implications as the year moves on. That's why this game will be so big. If Michigan comes out and tops Michigan State, you can make a legitimate case, as of right now, through 6 weeks into the season, that Michigan has a legit shot at competing in the college football playoff. I mean, it's hard to ignore that. And on the contrary, if Michigan State pulls out the win in Ann Arbor, yeah, they'll keep on trucking until they have to play the number one team in the nation in Ohio State on November 21st. So that is why this weekend's game is so big. Whoever wins will have a lot of clout as the season moves forward, and whoever loses, you better believe that it will be a devastating loss. So we'll get you prepped. We'll also be talking about Michigan State and Michigan and what we saw over the weekend between those two teams. I want to get your thoughts again, not just today, but throughout the entire week. I am encouraging all of you out there to call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. That is the number to call in if you want to give your thoughts on the upcoming matchup between Michigan State and Michigan. I want predictions. I want just thoughts, all right? I want to get your thoughts on what you have seen from both of those squads so far. But we got to start today's show with something that I don't want to start today's show with, but I have to because it's ideally the most recent news coming off of Sunday. The Detroit Lions, folks. Yes, yes, the Detroit Lions. They are now 0-5. 0-5 to start the year. To start the year 0-5, folks. So, hey, let's start the show with our planned intro.
Excuse for this one. I don't care how you're feeling or anything. So that's you never want to lose a game like that.
Can you talk about the decision of just Jim sitting you down, and then where do you go from there, I guess?
Told me at halftime if I threw another interception, I'd be pulled out of the game. So obviously threw one. Wish I wouldn't have. Go from there.
I'm the first one to say I love our fans. I think our fans are amazing, and they've been patient for a long time. But for them, before the game got out of hand, before the game started, I looked up. There were a lot of empty seats. Early on in the game, our team is getting booed. Later in the game, I mean, it sounded like the loudest they got was when Stafford was leaving the game and Dan was coming in, and that's not the support that we want. When we win, we all win together as a city, as an organization, as a state. When we lose, we all lose together. And today I felt like at times our fan base kind of turned their back on us. But we have a lot of confidence in our fan base, and we can't do this without our fan base. And we expect them to be with us a little bit better next week. We got a chance to still be special. We got two more home games, and we're expecting our fan base to be there for us and support us. I know we're not playing the type of football that we want to play right now, but we need our fans. We need them.
Yeah, so who you just heard from was Matthew Stafford, of course, quarterback of the Detroit Lions, who was actually benched in place of Dan Orlovsky late in that game because Matthew Stafford threw three interceptions. Three, folks. Not one, not two, but three INTs. Amir Abdullah, he didn't do it my fantasy league any favors. I had him as a starting running back in one of my leagues, and he had two turnovers. He got benched as well. I don't know if you guys noticed this, though, because it was it was a pretty comical moment that happened in the fourth quarter when things were really out of reach, when the Cardinals had a sizable lead in that game. But when Matthew Stafford was benched in favor of Dan Orlovsky, and when Carson Palmer took a breather and Drew Stanton came in to replace him, did you guys notice that? Remember back in 2008, you know, that 0-16, you know, Lions team? Dan Orlovsky and Drew Stanton were both quarterbacks for the Detroit Lions during that time. So you had two quarterbacks who were a part of that dreadful 0-16 team playing in the game at the very same time. Talk about irony. Oh, gosh, it was just ugly, folks. I mean, and it was funny. I was looking at the Detroit Free Press today, and they do a great job in covering the Lions, of course. And you know, they give like grades after every Sunday matchup. They always have their grades that night. You know, looking at the Lions in every single area: offense, defense, special teams, coaching, blah blah blah. And every single grade was an F across the board. Across the board, folks. And again, Matthew Stafford benched for the first time in 7 years. And he deserved it. He deserved it. I mean, three interceptions, and I find that bite from Matthew Stafford so comical because Jim Caldwell warned him, folks, at halftime. He says, Matt, you know, if you throw one more interception, you're done. You are getting benched. And, you know, you heard Matthew say that, and he's like, yeah, of course, I threw another one, and that's why I got taken out the game. But, gosh, is it bad or what? This team... and you know, it's interesting because Isaac and I, we actually had a little debate about this. If you remember, Isaac, you know, in the debate that Isaac and I had, and it got kind of heated actually, between which fan base has it the worst, historically, is it the Detroit Lions fan base or the fan base of the New Orleans Saints, who have been bad for many, many years? But gosh, man, I mean, of course the Lions have never won a Super Bowl. And I think from a historical context, Isaac, you may have won that debate because I didn't really realize how bad the New Orleans Saints have been for years and years and years. Oh, yeah. But you guys have won a Super Bowl. Drew Brees, he's an all-time great. And by the way, I did call that game correctly, even if I did choose with my heart against the Eagles and Saints. That was a complete blowout, right? Chip Kelly and company. But besides that, I mean, looking at the Lions, though, dude, this year, I never would have fathomed they would have started 0-5 to start the year. Now, again, you know, I think it sort of set in motion once they lost that second game. You kind of look at the rest of the schedule, and they, of course, had the Denver Broncos. After that, they had the Seattle Seahawks. And, of course, this past weekend, they had the Arizona Cardinals playing. So three powerhouses in the league. And, by the way, the Broncos are still sitting pretty at an undefeated record at 5-0, really doing it much so with their defense, if anything. But it's just a tough start for the year for them because they played some pretty formidable teams. But at the same time, there is nothing that you can harp on this team other than maybe what Theo Riddick, who has played out of his mind, I think, to start the year. Other than Theo Riddick, you can't really point to anything that is positive for this Detroit Lions squad.
Yeah, well, Al, next up is the Chicago Bears. And
right.
If they lose to Chicago, it's going to be anarchy. I mean, if you'll allow that term, it really will be. It'll be a complete overthrow of the system because this team is decent. In fact, they should be challenging to win their division. I know the Packers kind of have that division on lock, but the Lions should be right in there. They just got a lot of money without resigning Sue. Yes, that's a big loss, but even so, they brought in some more receivers who I thought would finally allow Matt Stafford to stop being so one-directional with his passing, and all of it has just crumbled. Simple as that. Nothing has worked for the Lions with the exception of Theo Riddick, like you said. So, no, this was another terrible showing against a good team, in fairness, against a very good Cardinals team. And that's one thing we have to emphasize is that the Lions, yes, they're 0-5. They're 0-3 to very good teams, though. They, you know, losing to the Seahawks, that's never an easy game either. And then this game was, you know, like I said, formidable opposition. And Denver, that's a team that you'd also expect to kind of put up some points on you. And Denver had only 24, which isn't that bad. For me, it's been the offense that has been so disappointing. They, since the first week of the season, they haven't scored more than 17 points like that.
Yeah.
17. You're going to have trouble winning a game scoring 17 points against bad opposition. When you play elite teams, you won't win scoring that much.
But the thing about with me, Isaac, when breaking down this 0-5 start for the Detroit Lions, I'm big on, okay, yeah, the Lions, I didn't expect them to beat Denver, Seattle, or Arizona. But for me, it's all about how you lose. We expected them to go down, but it's how you go down. How do you look throughout that game? Are there pieces that you can build upon moving forward? Isaac, from what I saw, and I saw the highlights, and I was looking at the stats and looking at the updates that I received on my phone. There was really nothing to harp on that you can say, okay, the Lions can turn this thing around. And then, you know, going back to the bite about, you know, Golden Tate, wide receiver for the Detroit Lions, who once played for the, Super Bowl champion Seattle Seahawks back in the day. I get where Golden Tate is coming from with that statement, because it certainly would be disheartening for you to be at that game if you're a player and to look up late in that game and to see what, you know, the Detroit News reported were roughly 1,000 fans, if that, in the stands supporting your squad. But at the same time, Golden Tate is a newbie to being a Detroit Lion. So he doesn't really know or get the full effect of why fans are so upset, why fans are so frustrated, and why they will not go out and support the Detroit Lions throughout the entire game and stay in there and watch this wreckage. I get where the Detroit Lions fans are coming from, because this has been a history of dismal performances that date back to past the 90s, folks. It's terrible. And if you are a fan, I don't blame you for walking out of that game, because there was nothing to harp on to put a smile on your face. I mean, I don't know how many unanswered points the Arizona Cardinals had. I mean, I saw the Detroit Lions, they actually had a 7-0 lead to start that game, and then it was just a rout. Arizona just went on and then going back to week one. Remember when the Detroit Lions, they gave up, 21 unanswered points, ended up losing to the San Diego Chargers in a game that they certainly had in hand. So, again, it's the way the Lions are losing this game. And now, you know, again, you mentioned the Chicago Bears. If you can't beat the Bears this weekend, you can't beat anyone in the NFL. Point blank, period. If you can't beat Chicago this weekend, it's a problem. It's going to continue to happen. We could see 0-6 this weekend with the way they're playing right now. And I think that Jim Caldwell, I mean, right now he's in desperation mode when trying to jumpstart this team, because – He goes and benches, you know, Matthew Stafford, hoping that this sends a message to Matthew that, hey, you got to wake up, because some of those interceptions were just idiotic. Throws that you should not make as a quarterback in the NFL. Heck, even in Pee Wee League. I mean, those throws were just terrible. So for me, man, I mean, I think the frustration is justified. And moving forward for this team, after this year, because I don't think they're making the playoffs, even, you know, Golden Tate, I mean, he's trying to harp on to anything positive here, saying, hey, we could still do something special. Come on, Golden. You're kidding yourself, brother. They're not making the playoffs this year. And at the end of the day, after this season is said and done, Isaac, they got a clean shot. Even though they won't, because that's how the Detroit Lions roll. This is the thing about the Detroit Lions franchise is also frustrating from a fan perspective, for fans out there. You know what the problems are. You know what's wrong, and it starts with the upper management. Yet every single year, they plead to ignorance. And the reason why I say that is they know what the problems are, but they don't address them in the NFL draft. They don't make the necessary fires that they need to. They need to clean house, because right now, this is a problem that just doesn't stand on the gridiron. This is an upper management problem, and they're ignoring that, and they have been for many, many years. The Detroit Lions are going to be the Detroit Lions, the same old Lions that they have been since I've been birthed in 1990, folks. They're not making the playoffs this year, and it's just it's sad to say that, but that's just the way it is. And until they change, I think ownership and from the GM perspective as well, we're going to keep on seeing seasons like this, Isaac.
Yeah, you need a change of motivation, a change of ambition and goals. And like you said, a clean house. At the end of the day, I thought this was a decent team. You and I both thought this team would make the playoffs. The schedule, yes, it had a tough opening stretch, but overall, it wasn't that bad outside of having a really hard team in your division in the Green Bay Packers, and then three extremely tough games within the first five. Besides that, though, there was reason for optimism if you're a Lions fan. And all that went out the window rather quickly with, you know, five straight losses. It's tough to recover from that, and five straight losses certainly brings you back to, you know, I'm not even going to bring it up for the sake of Lions fans out there listening, but that's what makes you remember.
Yeah, man, 0-16, 2008, I'll never forget it. I was a freshman in college when that happened. I'm sitting there saying, what in the world is going on? Matthew Stafford, he finished 20 for 32 for 188 yards, one touchdown, three INTs. In relief, Dan Orlovsky was 21 for 38 for 191 yards and one touchdown. Amir Abdullah, second-round draft pick. He had two first-half fumbles, one of which the Cardinals recovered, earning him a benching for the rest of the game. No defense whatsoever. They allowed 187 rushing yards, 103 to Chris Johnson, and quarterback Carson Palmer was 11 for 14 for 161 yards, three TDs for a near-perfect 154.2 passer rating. Ugly, 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 folks. Call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We are taking your calls all the way up until 2 p.m. If you want to get this Lions loss off your chest, you can do so. If you want to talk about the upcoming rivalry matchup this Saturday at the Big House in Ann Arbor, you can do that as well. We actually have a caller right now on line one. We've got Alan on line one. Alan, how you doing?
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks a lot for calling into the show.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, I want to reiterate what you've been talking about. I'm not afraid to say it, but I'm 57 years old. And everybody in the world knows how many playoff wins the Lions have had in my lifetime. One.
Right.
I was born in 58, and the last time they won anything of any importance, 59. So, or 57, I'm sorry. One big win. And it's to the point where, you know, Stafford throws that first pick there real early in the game. I just started laughing. Until the Lions commit to getting someone that can evaluate and develop talent, forget it. I mean, some of these clowns are bringing in Pettigrew, Ebron. I mean, mm-hmm. I mean, come on. They're average at best. I mean,
right.
You've got to be able to see in the third, the fourth, the fifth round. I mean, these other teams do it. They get players that are eventually starters. I mean, your first-round pick, Lakeland Thomason or whatever. Mm-hmm. He's okay, but he wasn't even starting at the beginning of the year. I mean,
right. And it starts, like you said, Alan, it starts in the draft for me because they have made, you know, throughout the past 5 or 6 years, their draft picks have just made you just scratch your head. And then even, you know, you bring up Lincoln Tomlinson from Duke. Then you can go to, you know, Eric Ebron from North Carolina, who I wasn't big on at all. And then you go with Kyle Vannoy, who they traded up to get. I mean, it just makes no sense at all.
Right. He's about ready to get, is he even on the roster, the Vannoy?
I don't even think so. It doesn't seem like it, right?
I mean,
gosh.
And they talked about Stephen Tulloch. I was listening. I was driving somewhere yesterday, part of the game. Tulloch, they say he's about as fast as, mud. I mean, he just couldn't guard the guy at all.
Right.
And, I don't know. It's very, you know, I guess it's beyond frustrating. It's just like, that's just the way it is. And, they're about, 10 years, if we're lucky, from the Super Bowl. I mean, it's just a joke. I don't know what you do. You've got to get, I mean, you have Matt Millen, one of the worst ever, so they promote his second in charge, and he might be a touch better, but not much. I mean, it's...
right, exactly. And that's where it starts. That's exactly where it starts. It starts with, you can talk about the Ford family as well. Martin Mayhew. I mean, it starts up there, Alan. And if that doesn't change, this franchise won't change anytime soon.
Well, these nice fall days when we have them, it's not worth wasting your time,
go enjoy the weather, take a walk or something, and go to the zoo. If you want to watch the lions, why don't you go to the zoo and catch a lion there? Don't watch him on TV, folks. Do not waste your time. Alan, great call. Appreciate
you
calling in, dude.
We'll see ya.
All right. Well, let's not waste any more time on the Honolulu Blue, right? Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will talk about the maize and blue and the green and white. The Spartans and Wolverines will get it on this Saturday at 3:30 at the Big House. Exciting stuff, folks. It's rivalry week. We'll talk about it. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. What's up, beautiful people? Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. We just finished up wrapping our conversation up about the Detroit Lions. Again, they are 0-5 to start the year. Again, we're asking you all to call in if you want to chat about the Detroit Lions, if you want to chat about the maize and blue taking on the green and white this Saturday, or if you want to chat about anything, we'll take your calls on anything. You can call in and discuss anything here on the show. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Also, this is also before we move on and talk college football here, this is also a hot button topic because when I saw it, it was a bit disturbing. And I definitely want to get your guys' thoughts on this as well. With this whole suspension going down, and the appeal of Chase Utley, he will be eligible to play tonight. Now, again, the appeal hearing for Chase Utley will not be held today. That's what is being reported from ESPN. And the Los Angeles Dodgers infielder will continue to be eligible to play until the appeal is heard. Again, tonight, game 3. All right, it's going to be a big game tonight. Major League Baseball suspended Utley for games 3 and 4 of the National League Division Series for what the league deemed was an illegal slide Saturday into New York Mets shortstop Ruben Tejada, who broke his leg on the play in the collision, and he will miss the entire postseason. Isaac, first off, I got to ask, did you see the play?
No, I didn't.
Okay, now I'm going to describe the play for you, and you can probably Google it in a second, because it was a bit ugly. It was very, very ugly, to be honest with you. And another thing is, the umps blew the call, folks. They totally blew the call. I mean, Chase Utley clearly runs into Ruben Tejada. It should have been, it should have been a penalty. You know what I mean? And both players should have been ruled out. That did not happen at all. They blew the call even after they looked at it. And then, just an uneasy moment when you see, Tejada go down. He had to be carted off the field. But for me, looking at the play, from Chase Utley's perspective, because I'm one of the few, and there are some out there that agree with me, I didn't think that Chase Utley did anything wrong, I must say. Even though he clearly targeted Ruben Tejada to make sure that he did not turn that double play, isn't that what Chase Utley is supposed to do? Isn't that baseball, folks? They're trained. If you're running from first to second base in a moment like that, and you know that there is a chance of that double play being turned that could have ended the inning, you got to go after the guy who's trying to turn the double play. You got to go after the second baseman. That's just how baseball is played. We've seen it constant times throughout this year and in years past in Major League Baseball. So for me, and you may disagree with me, I thought that Chase Utley did nothing wrong. What do you think, Isaac?
Yeah, Al, I just saw it, and I agree with you. In baseball, you are always taught stop the double play. That's the number one priority. Every out is so valuable. If you can stop one, you really have a little bit of liberty and freedom in deciding how you do that. You can't tackle the guy, but you can slide far away from the base. I've seen some outrageous double play. It's not like basketball or soccer sometimes where you need to be actually making a play for the plate or the ball or whatever it is.
Right.
It happens to be. In baseball, you just try to take out the guy. So I didn't think this was irregular even. I've seen this so many times before. I think it was hyped up because of the consequence, not the play.
Right, exactly. Because, you know, yeah, Ruben Tejada, he goes down, he breaks his leg in the play. Unfortunate there.
Feel terrible for the guy.
You got to feel terrible for him. But at the same time, I think Major League Baseball is trying to cut down on at-plate collisions. That's been their whole thing. They're trying to make the game safer from that perspective. So I get it from that perspective. I understand why Major League Baseball did that. However, on the other hand, this is baseball. It's the postseason. It happens. It's unfortunate that Ruben Tejada went down with a broken leg, but at the same time, Chase Utley did what he was supposed to do. And it amazes me. I've been watching the postseason, you know, so far, and it amazes me just how many blown calls we've seen in the world of baseball. How many blown calls we've seen, folks, just left and right. So, again, folks, phone lines are open. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We've got Kyman from Lansing to talk about the Detroit Lions online, too. How you doing?
Hello?
Yes, you are on Current Sports. How you doing?
Oh, this is Kenia.
Oh, this is Kenia. I'm sorry. It got spelled wrong, Kenia, in my rundown here. How are you doing? We haven't heard from you in a long time.
You said what?
We haven't heard from you in a long time. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, because I'm bitter at you.
Here we go. I ain't got my basketball tickets.
But the Detroit Lions got me more mad than you do. So
the basketball? Hold on. Let's go back here. Let's address that first. The basketball tickets. We owed you basketball tickets?
Yeah.
When?
It's no problem because you're going to give them to me this year, I'm sure, because you're a great guy.
I'll tell you what, Kenia, make sure you leave your number with our producers in the back. I'm going to call you personally to get to the bottom of this, okay? But go ahead. I know you want to talk Lions, though. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I'm just going to talk about everything on the inside, on the east side, with one comment. As a relate, I honestly feel like if we had had the University of Michigan, as much as I do not like that team, if the University of Michigan was to replace the Detroit Lions in that game, we would have had seen a better experience, and they would have had a better chance of winning.
So you think U of M would have had a better chance against the Arizona Cardinals than the Detroit Lions?
Right.
Yeah, that's safe to say.
As much as I do not think that Michigan is the team that will be able to win a national this year, and I will go on record saying that Michigan State would just step their game up and make sure that don't happen.
So you got MSU this weekend and on Saturday.
I have MSU all the time, unless MSU is not there and it's a Big Ten team. I'm always going to go for the Big Ten, but I'm going to always be a U of M fan because a Michigan State fan because Michigan State, like how you were saying, that you always have to have something to build on. Michigan State is always doing that. Mm-hmm. Whereas Michigan, they've been doing pretty good in these few games, you know, that just passed. But honestly, in my opinion, I don't see national championship in there.
No, but you know what? And it's so interesting to hear the national talk about this conversation when comparing Michigan State's football program and what they've done so far this season to Michigan's football program and how they've looked. I mean, it's hard to ignore, Kenia, that, you know, Michigan has, you know, shut out its last three opponents. They've beaten a Northwestern team that is very, very good, 38-0 this past weekend. Before then, they beat a bad Maryland team, to be honest, 28-0. Then before that, BYU, 31-0. That Michigan defense is carrying this team. And it's hard to ignore, you know, that they have just been handling business. And Jim Harbaugh, who is the new coach of this squad coming into this year, he is slowly changing the culture of this team game after game after game. But with that being said, I just think it's so early for people to just hop on the bandwagon to think that Michigan is going to be a national championship contender when they have yet to play a quote-unquote big dog other than Utah, which they lost to and is a very, very talented team. That's all I'm saying.
Right, and I completely agree because the defense, looking at their defense, like you can't take anything away from that.
They're spectacular.
But before national championship, it's going to take defense and offense.
Right.
Only your defense is, your offense is going to have to also step up to the plate as well. Like, you're going to have to be a well-rounded team because, I mean, when it comes to the national championship, I mean, we're talking about some awesome teams mm-hmm. that, I mean, for years have been in the 1, 2, 3, and 4 spot. So,
right.
I mean, because they're a big team 10, I there is a little bit of pull for them, you know, inside me. You know, I would love it if all Big Ten teams, you know, could make it to those top 4 spots. But I think that it takes a lot more. And, I mean, even you know, for them to, you know, to help them would say you got to be a lot more well-rounded than just your defense.
I agree. So, Kania, before we get you out of here, again, I want you to leave your number with our producers, and we're going to talk about these basketball tickets, all right, Missy? Also, I want you to give us a score prediction. Then, well, any caller who calls in about the Michigan and Michigan State game throughout this week, like we do every year here on the show, we want you guys to call in and give us a score prediction. I know you got MSU, but by how much? And right now, Vegas has Michigan winning by at least 7 points. That's the line.
I think it's going to be a very, very good fight. I think we're going to be on the edge of our seats, but I'm thinking that Michigan State is going to at least take it by, I'm going to say, 10.
By 10? Okay, what's your score? Give me your score.
I'm thinking because the game is going to have us so far on edge, I'm going to say
27-17. 27-17. We got you.
Yeah, that's what I'm going for.
Okay. 27-17. Great call, Kania. Thanks so much for calling in. And keep calling in, all right?
yeah, I will. I still be listening. I just don't call. No, I'm just playing.
Okay. No. I'm a little salty about that. But, no, thanks a lot. We appreciate it. All right, again, folks, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Isaac, you know, this is an interesting conversation because Michigan State has not looked good. I will say that. Michigan State right now, Isaac, looking at what took place in that Rutgers game, there are a few areas that are certainly alarming. Numero uno has to be the injuries on this squad. We saw a few players go down this past weekend. Notable ones, of course, Mondre London. We even saw Darian Hicks, linebacker, go down with a head injury of some sorts. It's alarming. We even saw Jack Allen go down. He was limped off. He limped off the field. He had to be carried by Sally Nogle and other members of the training staff. So right now, Michigan State is hurting. They are really, really hurting in multiple areas. And how they are just squeaking out games against teams like Purdue, you know, this past weekend against Rutgers, it is a bit uneasy. I must say that. I think that when looking at the secondary for Michigan State, they have not played great. They have not played up to their potential, if you ask me. There's a lot of holes in this squad. And the reason why Michigan right now is favored in Las Vegas by 7 points is, again, it's all about how you look. Michigan is not only winning, but they are winning handily against opponents who are, you know, formidable coming into that matchup, like, you know, a Northwestern, like a BYU. They are winning and shutting teams out. Again, they've had 3 shutouts, folks, in the last 3 weeks. This defense, and I've been tuning into these Michigan games, this defense is what is carrying the maize and blue to these wins, because I got to be honest, I am not completely sold on Jake Rudock as the starting quarterback for the Wolverines. I think that he's a good quarterback. He's not great. He's average at best, to be honest with you. And he's relying, that offense is relying on that Michigan defense to come up with stops, to put the throat on the opposition, and allowing the offense to sort of take a breath and to milk the opposition with the run game. That's how Michigan has been winning. Will that happen against Michigan State? Let's be real here, folks. Michigan State is not going to get shut out against the Wolverines. Let's keep it real. Let's be honest here. Connor Cook, I think, is slowly but surely. And again, Isaac, when we previewed that game against Rutgers, I said that I thought, you know, the week before against Purdue, The play calling was a bit conservative, and I think that I thought that the leash needed to be taken off of Connor Cook, and that he needed to make some plays down the field, allow him to make plays down the field. And we saw Connor Cook, especially late in that game, especially on that last drive, that completion to R.J. Sheldon that resulted in a touchdown for MSU on that drive was an NFL-type throw. It was an NFL throw over the shoulder, a contested defender right on him. Unbelievable throw. That is what Connor Cook is capable of. And even though this Michigan defense has played great, they aren't going to shut out the Spartans here, folks. And I think it's going to be a really tight game, to be honest. Isaac, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, Al, first off, let's give ourselves a pat on the back because we predicted this game spot on in most ways. You picked that it would be closer than I did. But we both said, here's some things that we picked out. We said Leonte Carew would have a big game coming back. Wow. Did he announce himself as a draft prospect or what?
He's a man, isn't he? That senior wide receiver is something else. They had no answer for him. The Spartans had no answer for him on Saturday.
And they had no receiver besides him. No receiver caught more than three passes besides Carew. So you can see how absent that passing game must have been without him. With him, what a difference it makes. But also, Connor Cook, like you said, came out very aggressive. 25 passing attempts in the first half alone. That is some trust in your quarterback right now if you're Mark D'Antonio. Overall, though, really bad showing from the Spartans. I mean, you can't mask that. This is a bad Rutgers team. Yeah, Leonte Carew meant a lot coming back, but somehow the Spartans, I mean, they managed to stop the run fairly effectively and still were so close to losing this. One nice defensive play away from losing this game. So, no, I thought that was it. And then on the Michigan side of the coin, I take back everything I said after Utah. Utah is a very good team, and this Michigan team, they're built on defense, like you said, and that power run game, not too many risky throws from Rudolph. It's a brilliant scheme by Harbaugh because it masks all the deficiencies that they have as a program. He knows they've got a good running back. He knows that their defense is solid. But he knows that offensive line could use some work here and there. He knows the quarterback play isn't the most consistent. And therefore, he doesn't throw that much. He doesn't make his quarterback throw difficult balls. And he just relies on that defense to step up. And special teams, that spark plug special teams play to start the game for Michigan. Yeah. That made all the difference in the world. So
Jehu Chesson, 96 yards.
Exactly.
Crazy. Yeah.
And that's something we'll have to look for. That's the one thing I really want to see in the Michigan-Michigan State game, special teams.
But you know, I got to get this off my chest. Before we hit the second break, and again, we're taking your calls, folks, 517-355-9527. I got to get this off my chest because it's amazing to me how Mark D'Antonio, what he's done with this Michigan State football program in the past few years, and even throughout his entire tenure. It's amazing to me, when you look at his track record, that's so impressive. Jim Harbaugh, in his first year, is getting way more attention than Coach D has ever gotten. And as a Spartan, as Michigan State, as a fan, if you're a player, if you're Coach D, that is something that you use to get you amped up and revved up for this Saturday's game. So, again, folks, we're taking your calls because it just irks me that Jim Harbaugh in his first year, even though this is all fine and dandy, Michigan looks great. People are already crowning this team to win a national championship. Slow your roll. I mean, it just blows my mind. Let's hear our second break. Again, I know we do have a caller right now on the line. I want to get your call right after this second break here. Let's hit a break. Again, call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Don't go anywhere. We'll put a bow on this edition of Current Sports when we come back. Welcome back. The Current Sports Hotline is blowing up today. Let's go to line one right now. We've got Tom from Grand Rapids. Tom, welcome to the show, my man.
Hey, Al, it's been a while since I've had time to call, but here I am.
It's all good, so, brother. Good to hear you.
So here's my thing. Unless we take the conservative business away and just try to outscore them, we don't have a chance Saturday. I hate to say that, but we don't have any facet of our game right now that's clicking. Nothing. Special teams, we're the only top 10 team in the country that doesn't have a kicker that can get it to the end zone on kickoffs. I just don't know what we have going on. We've been luckier than luck to pull these out so far.
Yeah, and I will say, and again, not to, because D'Antonio doesn't like to talk about it. I mean, he hates talking about it, Tom, when it comes to the injury factor. I got to ask you, Tom, how big do you think the injury factor for the Spartans has been in lieu of these close squeak out games?
Well, I guess, you know, my take is this, Al, yes, there's been a lot of injury and tough injuries, but we're also not playing a very high level of competition, in my opinion. Rutgers, just not a good football team. But, boy, they sure have their moments against us, and it seems like every team we play has their moments against us. Mm-hmm. Just when you think it can't happen, it does. Our defense, you know, is suspect. It's not like it was a couple years ago when that defense just dominated. And we got some players on that defense that ought to be able to do that. It's just not happening.
Yeah, and you know what stands out to me, Tom, when you mentioned that Michigan State defense, the secondary more so for me, because we've seen, you know, guys like Darian Harris, also sophomore safety Monte Nicholson. I mean, he came into the year with high expectations. He was constantly burned. He made several bad reads throughout that game, taking poor angles, couldn't tackle in space. We've seen that far too often, and that can't happen. That can't happen this Saturday. So with that being said, Tom, again, we're asking all of our callers who call in to talk about the Michigan and Michigan State matchup to give your predictions. Give me a final score, Tom.
Oh, boy. I almost can't do it because I'll just kind of throw open my mouth a little bit. So even though I said it, and I don't think we have a good chance of winning the game, I just can't predict that we're going to lose. So
right.
I'll go, we can't keep a field goal, so I got to pick just a touchdown score. You know what? I'll go. Jesus, it's tough.
It is. I know you're like debating with yourself internally. I can feel it, Tom.
I know. I'm gonna be all over the place here and say, I hope to God we win, and I hope it's like 35-28.
35-28.
And now you can't ask me what I really think.
Right. No, we won't go there. We won't go down that road. But I got you. We're on the same page, Tom. I got you, brother.
There you go. All right. You have a great day.
You too. Thanks a lot for the call. Again, folks, 517-355-9527. And, Tom nailed it, Isaac. Michigan State, the defense just hasn't been there. And, again, we talk about the injuries. Oh, the injuries. I mean, looking at redshirt freshman running back Madre London, he went down with an injury. He was seen using crutches on the sidelines later on in the game. Delton Williams, he saw his first carry of the season. So, hey, that burns his red shirt, so he has to play for the rest of the year now. That's going to be, a year in the books for him as well. Jack Allen went down late in the game. He hobbled off the field late in that game as well. He couldn't put a lot of pressure on his right leg. Just glaring injuries to key players throughout this year, early on in the year for Michigan State. And, and I can see why it has a lot of Michigan State fans out there on edge. And, again, they're barely squeaking out, wins against, teams like, Rutgers and Purdue. It's a bit uneasy. But I will not count Michigan State out this Saturday, though, because I do believe that there are a lot of things to harp on that could allude to Michigan State success, especially for me. When looking at that Michigan offense for me, Isaac, I'm not completely sold on that consistency and efficient play from that Michigan offense, because I think more so the defense. Again, I think the Michigan defense is carrying the Wolverines. And arguably, you can make a case that, yay, Michigan's defense is the best in the nation right now, and I wouldn't argue with you.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. I think Michigan's defense has been absolutely spectacular. No way around that. But for Michigan State, the injuries are a problem. But they're a problem. There are so many deeper problems within this. They've been cutting it close since week one versus Western. So don't tell me that last game was bad. And I know you're not making this debate. I'm just saying, no apologists for Michigan State. There should not be somebody saying, oh, well, it's because Darian Hicks went down last night and Jack Allen. That's not the reason why. Yes, it's demoralizing maybe to see some of your, you know, older players and some of your captains go down with injury. But we've had injuries. Michigan State, have had injuries since week one. And before week one, even, of course, you've got Ed Davis's injury. So Michigan State has been dealing with this the whole season. And injuries are a part of football. We saw Ohio State last year win a national championship because of injuries. So you're telling me you can't fight around injuries? You don't deserve to be top five. And that's exactly what we've seen with that. Same thing being said, though, it's a rivalry week, and we know what some excitement, what a splash of cold water in the face can do for a program. It can make all the difference in the world.
But the thing that makes this weekend so cool for me, Isaac, is that this will be arguably the biggest Michigan and Michigan State matchup. You can make an argument for this since 1999, when both teams were ranked in like the top 15 or something like that. And now, you know, looking at the rankings of both these respective squads coming into this weekend, again, like I said at the start of the show, whoever wins this matchup at the Big House will be a national championship contender.
Yes, they
That's
will.
That's how big this game is. And whoever loses, you can maybe throw it in the dumpster.
Yeah.
You can maybe throw it in the dumpster. I really believe that. And that's why this game is not just for bragging rights. This isn't just, you know, to you know, go home with your friends and say, hey, yeah, we beat our in-state rival. No, this is much bigger than that. That's why I think this will be the biggest Michigan and Michigan State football game I've ever covered as a journalist.
Yeah.
It's going to be that big.
Without doubt, Alan. The other part about this is they'll be the best-looking team in the Big Ten, in the entire Big
Ten. Oh, certainly,
certainly. Because Ohio State... Hey, if we were in Columbus right now, we'd be saying the exact same thing that we are right now as being in Lansing. Because Ohio State has failed to impress. They've lost some of their plaudits about that number one spot, and deservedly so. So whoever wins this will be the best-looking team, in my opinion, in the Big Ten.
Yeah. All right. Well, we are out of time. Final minute of the show. I got one weekend winner. I just want to call out Al Manfroni and the Michigan State club football team. Again, they defeated the defending national champions. The defending national champions, Oakland U, this weekend. That's right, the Grizzlies, 21-16, moving on to 2-0 on the year. Of course, Al Manfroni, he is a guy who helped build that Oakland club football squad back in the day, the head coach of that squad back in the day, who is now the head coach here at Michigan State. Congrats to him. Also, we're gonna dive into this juicy story tomorrow, and that concerns USC Trojans football coach Steve Sarkisian, who is taking an indefinite leave of absence after he arrived Sunday to team facilities appearing to be intoxicated. Yeah, sad stuff there, man. We'll talk about that as well as talk a little MLB tomorrow as well. You have been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR. AM 870 East Lansing. Thanks so much to all of our listeners out there and our callers today as well. Have a fantastic Columbus Day, and be easy, people.